today on Living on Every Word.
When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Whatever sin you've committed, whatever lifestyle that you've been living, I don't care what it is, I don't care what you've done, there is forgiveness of those sins.
Are you living life under the blessings of God, or does it feel like you're living under some kind of curse? In today's message, Pastor Mike Fritcher shows us how we are made alive and set free from the sin and guilt of our past as we seek to live life under the blessings of God.
Living on Every Word.
I'd like for you to turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 13 through 15. Our time in the Copper Canyon of Mexico was a powerful time, as these trips always are. If you're visiting with us today, our church has targeted and adopted an unreached people group called the Tarahumara, an Indian tribal group of about 65,000 people that live in a canyon system that is larger than the Grand Canyon system. A very primitive people. We walked an area that is a part of a place the missionaries call the Triangle of Darkness, where there's no Christian influence whatsoever. And we saw darkness. They have just come off a celebration, and it's during that week that they offer their corn beer and their sacrifice to their God. And they make this corn beer, and they drink all they can, and they give the rest to their God, and then they drink some more. Dark, dark place. You know, I think about these people and what they live under, because they live under sin, they live under the curse of death. They live under a worldview that is totally unbiblical and ungodly. They live under fear, fear of the spirits, fear of superstitions. There's drunkenness, there's murder, there's rape, there's violence, there's child abuse, there's spousal abuse. Every village has a witch doctor. They walk in fear of his curses. They walk under his control, under his spell. And their existence is not a happy existence. It's a miserable existence. And it's easy to walk those trails and to think of 65,000 souls whose religion is mixed with demonic principles. And I get to say, glad that's not me. Glad that's not us. And yet we cross the border into a nation that God has truly blessed. And yet with all these blessings and with all this opportunity to hear. I mean, we live in a county, Erath County, where there's 22, quote, Southern Baptist churches. And then a host of others. This summer, anybody living in Dublin has an opportunity to send their children to 15 vacation Bible schools if they wanted to. And yet we cross a border and I go into a prison once a week where there is men incarcerated because of their drunkenness, their murder, their rape, their violence, their child abuse, their spousal abuse, who walk in fear of the demonic. Not much different. You know why? Because human nature is the same across the board. And you don't have to go 18 hours into the Copper Canyon to find darkness. You don't have to go to the ends of the earth to find the darkness. It's a shame that some of us come in here and we are hiding our own darkness. We are filled with the same kinds of things, the same lust, the same addictions, the same abuse, the same bitterness, the same anger. It reminds me of Ephesians 4:17. If you look on the screen with me, where the Apostle Paul is saying, "So I say this and affirm together with the Lord, that you, church, walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the hardness of their heart." And they have become, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you didn't learn Christ this way. You learned Christ, you didn't learn to walk this way, church. You didn't learn to walk in bitterness. You didn't learn to walk in greed. You didn't learn to walk in lust. You didn't learn to walk in the addictions of this world. You learned Christ in a different way. And that's what I find when I cross this border back into our country to say this is so sad, because over there it is dark. There are triangles of darkness in that place. But I want to ask you, church, how dark is your heart? What are the secrets of your heart? What is the sin that you practice, the sin that you participate in, the things that you walk in, the things that you ignore of God? You know, I look at the Scripture in Romans chapter 3, and it says, what then? Are we better than they? Are we better than those Tarumara? Are we better than those murderers and those rapists? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks, they're all under sin. And it is written, there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks God. Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Galatians 5:19, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Idolatry, it's loving something more than you love God. Sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Watch the Scripture. Of which I am forewarning you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It ought to put the fear of God in us to look at and examine our lives and to say, are we walking in envy? And are we walking in drunkenness? Are we walking in sensuality? What are the things in our lives that the Scripture is forewarning the Galatian church that those who are practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of God? A people separated from the life of God. I go to Tanumaran village and it's filthy. But you know what the difference is? We're civilized sinners. We're clean, we brush our teeth, we bathe every night, we use our deodorant, we practice this hygiene, and we look good on the outside, but often inwardly, no different. Antiseptic, see, cleaned up, but yet have these things in our heart and in our lives. And I ask the question, because the question is very pertinent to every one of us. These folks, they live under sin. They live under darkness. But my question to you is, to what or to whom are you living under? Because you may not be a rapist, but you may be the greediest woman or man in the world. And by all accounts, look pretty good because you're in church and you give your money and you give your tithe. But inwardly, there's just this greed in your life, this selfishness. But that's okay, isn't it? As long as I'm not a murderer. As long as I'm not a rapist. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. I ask the question, to what or to whom are you living under today? What is it that you live under? Do you live under life and blessing, or do you live under the death and the curse? Because the Scripture often calls us to the choice. Live life or death. Live the blessing, be blessed, or be cursed. To the Jews in Moses' day, there was always a call to choose life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, one of my favorite Old Testament verses of Scripture. Verse 15, see, I've set before you today life and prosperity, death and adversity. Do you know that God sets before you life and prosperity, or death and adversity? Every single day. To every choice that you have, every trial that comes your way, every struggle that comes your way, you have a choice to choose life or choose death. We skip to verse 19. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your descendants. How? By loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, by holding fast to Him. Because this is your life. What is your life? It may be your money. It may be your sin. It may be your retirement account. It may be your stuff, your houses, your things. But the Bible says that if we're in Christ, that this is our life. Our life in length of days, so that we may live in this land which the Lord swore, so that we might live the abundant life by loving the Lord your God, by obeying His voice, and by holding fast to Him. And I'm just going to ask the question again, what are you living under? Because I believe that the choosing of life can only be found in the firm belief of who God is and what He's done in our lives and what He's done for you. To choose life means that I will choose what it means to believe in Christ and live in Christ. It's how I choose to live and respond, under sin or under Christ, under darkness or under light. You don't have to go to the ends of the earth to find the darkness. You can open the bedroom door, the closet door, the front door, and find the same darkness. It just looks a little bit different. But I've got good news. And the good news is that you can live under Christ today. That you can come to this point to realize who God is and what God's come to do to set you free. To take this kind of life away from us. I believe it's found in Colossians chapter 2. The choice of living under Christ through faith or living under the sin. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. It's a simple command. How'd you receive Christ? You believe that what He did 2,000 years ago, He did just for you. And at some point in your life, you believed that. And you repented of your sin. And you repented of your darkness. And the Bible says, as you've received Him, so walk in Him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. And see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy or empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in Him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him you've been made complete. What's He saying? He's saying, listen, Jesus Christ is God. And in Christ, you as a believer have been made complete in Him. And He is the head over and all rule and authority. And in Him you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And having been buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with Him through faith in the working of God who has raised Him from the dead, when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, He made you alive together with Him, and having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. If you're under Christ today, if you're in Christ today, the Scripture says that you are alive. You are no longer dead. You are no longer dead in your transgressions and sins. You are alive in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's me believing that Christ did this for me and made me alive. He said it to the Ephesians in practically the same way. Ephesians 2:1 on the screen. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience, but God being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you've been saved. I want to live under the blessing of life. I want to live under the blessing of life, not the curse of death. And so Paul goes on, and just look over to Colossians chapter 3 and notice what he says about how to do this, how to live life. Therefore, chapter 3, verse 1, if you've been raised up with Christ, if you're alive, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on the earth. Because you're dead and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality and impurity and passion and evil desire and greed, which amounts to idolatry. It's because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you put them all aside. Put away the anger. Put away the wrath. Put away the malice, the slander, the abusive speech from your mouth. Don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and you put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who has created him. Here's the key. Set your mind on things above. When you set your mind on things above, the Bible says that you will avoid these sins. You will consider your earthly body, the members of your earthly body, your hands, your eyes, your ears, your feet. You present those members to him. And then he says, you put it all aside. See, you and I have the power to put it all aside today. You and I have the power, the anointing, the unction, the Spirit of God, the Word of God, everything we need to put it all aside. The question is, will I allow my mind to be changed? Because, by the way, that's the way you get conformed to the image of Christ. You change your mind. It's amazing to us all the things that are in our mind. Did Jesus Christ really die for our sins? Is that really in your mind today? And did he die for those sins to take them away and to transform us? I've got to think that. I've got to believe that. And I believe that, and I live that, and I think that, and guess what? I walk that. And I live under the blessing of life. Set your mind on things above, not on earth. You're dead to the things of the earth. And by the way, the things of the earth have never given you ultimate satisfaction, but God has. You're dead. Your life's hidden with Christ and God. Therefore, consider it all dead, so that you might not walk and practice these things, but that you might be renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of Jesus Christ. If you're in Christ today and under Christ, you're alive, you're not dead. The second thing that we find in this passage of Scripture is that your transgressions are forgiven. Your transgressions are forgiven. Notice verse 13. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. All your transgressions. All your sin. There's nothing left undone by the blood of Christ. So if I believe this today, and I'm in Christ and under Christ, I believe that they are forgiven, I'm living under the blessing of freedom and not the curse of guilt. There's no more guilt. No more guilt. I had a young man come to the office this week who doesn't feel that he could ever be godly because of where he's been. He didn't think that God could ever forgive him for what he's done. He didn't think he can move on to the next thing that God had him because of who he's been and what he has done. A young man who feels like it's too late for him. His sin in his eyes is too much. His failure is too much. And I looked at him and I said, listen to me. Whatever sin you've committed, whatever lifestyle that you've been living, I don't care what it is, I don't care what you've done, there is forgiveness of those sins. There is a release of those sins. It's a release of that lifestyle. He has forgiven us all our transgressions. But I ask you, do you feel like it's too late for you? Is your sin in your eyes just too much? Is your failure just too much that God can't use? Scripture says when he made you alive, he forgave it all. He forgave it all. And he took the guilt away. When I look at God and I look at this thought of your transgressions are forgiven, that listen, that you don't have to be in bondage to this anymore. I mean, the Bible says you have a grace. Look on the screen with me. Romans 5:20. The law came, and we're going to talk a little bit about the law in just a moment, but it came in so that the transgression would increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace would reign through righteousness to eternal life through Christ our Lord. Let me just tell you this. You know, if your sin is bad, and all of our sin is bad, and you've walked a life of rebellion and sin and horrible mistakes and poor choices, the Bible says where sin increases, grace will increase all the more. That just as this sin was reigning in your life, this grace is going to reign just as much, if not more, than the sin reigned in your life. Where sin increases, grace increases. It just simply means this, that God gives you what you need to see the sin go away, to see the strongholds go away. Well, I believe that today. Well, I believe that this grace is available to live this life that God has called us to live. And Scripture says that, listen, I've come to take your sin away. I've come to take your guilt away. Psalm 103:10. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. Look at it again. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. And just as the Father has compassion on His children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. He's forgiven you, and He's forgotten as far as the east is from the west. He's not dealt with you according to your sins. So quit dealing with yourself according to your sins. That's why this is good news, folks. Good news is not, yeah, you get forgiven, but you got to keep getting beat up over it the rest of your life. No, back in Colossians, you've been made alive. Your transgressions are forgiven. And notice what else? Verse 14, He canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. What is the certificate of debt? What is that? Well, it's a whole lot like your banknote. The certificate of debt that I owe for the car or for the house. You owe. And because of your sin, you come into this world owing, in debt, up to your eyeballs in debt of sin. Okay? And some of you can relate to that. Some of us can. And there's this certificate of debt that says, you owe. The problem is that you owe with your life. Destined for judgment, destined for wrath. Because of the significance of the sin. And then He talks about the decrees that have been spoken against us. The certificate of debt and the decrees against you also alludes to the law of God. You know, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. Shall not commit adultery. Shall not covet. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long on the earth. Shall not bear false witness. Shall have no other gods before you. Shall not make for yourself an idol. It's the law of God. The law of God. What does the law of God do? Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Okay? Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, what the law could not do, what the commandment could not do, weak as what could the law not do? The law could only do one thing, and that's expose your sinfulness. It couldn't make you holy. It couldn't give you the power to keep it. Matter of fact, what it would do is you'd open the law of God, and it would say, you shall not covet. And you realize, I'm a covetous man. I'm undone. I've had other gods before me. I've not murdered anybody, but I've got a sin of murder in my heart because of my bitterness and my anger. And I can look at this law, and what it does is it exposes my sin, but it can't make me holy. Because, folks, I've already committed. The Scripture says if you just commit one wrong, your entire life, you're guilty of the whole law. You're undone. But the law could not do, weak as it was, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And as an offering for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who's the us? Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Because the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God. It's not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. The law of God exposes your sin. It shows you that you lack. Let me put it another way. What happens when you're driving down the road and you see a state trooper? What do? You slow down, right? You pull over. Okay. She's been exposed, right? You slow down. And you slow down if you're going 5 miles under, don't you? I mean, you see it and you pull off, even if you're going speed limit. You saw the law and the law brought to mind what you were doing at that moment. That's what it does. That's what the law does. The law exposes your sin. It exposes where you're missing God. And it cannot save you. Because the Bible says if you've committed one sin against the law, one, you're guilty of the whole. You're undone. The second thing that the law does, the decree, the writings, it leads you to Christ. Galatians 3:24, therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. Isn't that a great word? In other words, here is this certificate of debt. You are guilty. Christ comes along and He removes the certificate of debt and He removes the decrees that are against us and He gives us this life. He says, no more guilt. I tear up the certificate of debt and you owe me nothing anymore. You no longer owe God. It's paid in full. Not that there's no longer an oughtness or rightness about life. There's an accountability to live the way God designed. But I want to tell you, in the heavenlies, your debt has been paid. And when He was nailed to the cross, He took the certificate of debt with Him to say, no longer guilty. You no longer owe me anything. It has been paid. But I want to tell you what happens. The Bible says you're no longer the same. But the enemy likes to come and remind you of the decrees. You know, some of the decrees are condemnation, guilt, no chance at life, no redemption, forever bondage. Are you a drunkard? You'll always be a drunkard. You'll always be defined as the adulterer that messed up your marriage, or the fornicator. That's how you'll always be defined. You'll always, it'll never be good enough. You'll never measure up. You'll never be forgiven of this one. The Bible said, took the decree and He nailed it to the cross. Did you hear that? He took the decree. He took the decree. And He nailed it to the cross, and He forgave it, and He remembers it no more. The certificate of debt that said you owe and you're in trouble has been nailed to the cross, and it has been buried with Him, and Jesus rose to the dead, not carrying the certificate of debt. Why are you carrying it in your pocket? And looking at what you owe. When God says, I took care of that. I took care. Yeah, there's some consequences, but I want to tell you, I took care of that. Will you believe that under Christ, that you are alive, that you are forgiven, and you no longer owe? It has been done.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.